7:28. That sounds good. I've left my watch. I never bring my phone in. It's out in the truck, but I don't have to run out there every few minutes to see what time it is. I guess whenever y'all get up and start going to lunch, I'll know it's time to stop. Good singing all the way around. We just bless the Lord for the good songs of Zion, the good singing that we've enjoyed this morning together and one with another, and the special music. And so take your Bible, if you will, to the book of Matthew. We'll be looking in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. As we look there in this chapter there, if you find the place you're able to stand, verse number 5 and also verse number 6. Matthew chapter 28, verse 5 and 6. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed. And dear God, we thank you for the resurrected Lord and Savior. And Lord, we thank you now that nobody took his life, but that he lay it down freely, that he was able to take it back up again. I want to say thank you, Lord, for loving us while we were unlovable. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free, we pray thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on words of rejoicing here this morning. And let me say to you that when man had done his worst that could be done, crucifying the Son of the living God, beating upon him, spitting upon him, mocking him, making fun of him, until that finally, you know, that he bowed his head, gave up the ghost on the cross, that you and I might be born into the family of God, should you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. Now, this was a time of sadness that we're reading here this morning. You'll find out, is that no doubt, that they were making fun of him and mocking him, spitting upon him, beating him with the palms of their hands, taking other reeds and beating on him with that. And yet all of that was his submissiveness unto the Heavenly Father, that he might pay the sin debt. And man, what a price was paid for you and I to be able to get born again. You know, the Bible says that his visage was so marred more than any man. If you find somebody, and I've seen people, buddy, that were in car wrecks, and their eyes were turned inside out, and their ears and their face swollen, you couldn't even imagine a human being looking like that. And yet his visage was so marred more than any man. I was thinking about, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, and I don't want you to get this wrong, I don't want to get sidetracked with this, and I make it no secret that I voted for Mr. Trump twice, and of course he only won one time, but Mr. Trump's going straight to hell as the crowd he's running against. Somebody said, and you may have said it, and if you did, don't ever say it again, people will think you're stupid. But somebody said, you know, they're treating him and he's going through such a persecution that it kind of reminds you of Jesus. Let me correct you a minute. Jesus was not a whoremonger. Jesus was not a liar, a cheater, and a conniver. Jesus didn't have a string of people that he was trying to pay off and keep quiet. The Lord Jesus Christ had, as he stood before the highest of that land, governors in that place, and in that day and hour, they examined him and came to the people and said, "I find no fault in this man." I'm going to ask you here this morning, have you found a fault in him? If you're not saved, then why aren't you? If you've not yet repented toward God, trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, then what is it exactly that you're waiting on? Do you realize to know that if you're not saved already here this morning, the only reason why you're sitting here alive, God gives your heart permission to beat again. And if he ever says, stop, is going to you're going to spend eternity without hope and without God. If you leave this world without God, you're going to spend eternity without God. That's why that's called a place of hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, a place of darkness where the worm never dies and the fires never quench. Jesus died for you and me and the rest of the world that we might be washed by the blood and born into the family of God. Now, if you were to read the related scriptures with that, is that there were two men that were walking along on the road to Emmaus over there in the book of Luke. You don't have to turn there. But in chapter number 24, the Bible said they went along there and they were conversing one with another. Suddenly, the Lord Jesus Christ began to walk along with them, and they did not know it was Him. In other words, their eyes were holding that they could not tell that it was Jesus Christ. And He began to converse with them and ask them, why is it that you're talking like this and talking about this? And why is it that you're so sad? And they said, are you not from here? They didn't even know who they was talking to. And said, do you not realize, that there was one that we had hoped had been the Messiah? And yet here's the third day since He's been crucified, and we're sad because of the fact we had hoped that He had been the one that would have delivered us from this bondage, so forth and on. I want to say to you that, if you will, is that you may never believe Him, but it'll be to your detriment that you don't. In this lesson that you're looking at, I can remember whenever I grew up, and by the way, as I grew up in a home. They carried me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, even on business meeting night. I've got places and damage done to me now because of them arguing about this or that and trying to decide on a business meeting night and so forth and on. I never figured that out. If a church got business, let's go ahead and take care of it, be done with it, get through with it. No need in discussing it. Most of the men back then, though, had to wait and get home, find out how their wife felt about it. I said, how about just cutting the middleman out and you keep your mouth shut and send her down here. Let me deal with her. I'm not saying you're henpecked or house broke. I may be a little bit house broke, but I'm not henpecked and house broke. I've had men before say, I'll tell you right now, I believe the man ought to be the man of his house. I believe a man ought to be in charge of his house. Man ought to be a leader in his house. Man ought, and my wife told me I could believe that if I wanted to. That's about where it's at.
Yes, sir. You're right.
I can tell you right now is, if your wife gets mad, I don't care. I ain't got to go home with her. But if my wife gets mad, I got to go home and deal with that. I said all that to be able to say this, is that it doesn't matter. There ought to be some feature. You can't outrun your wife. I can certainly outrun mine now. I may not always could, but I can now.
Amen.
I want to say to you, it was a sad time. It was a day when they were walking along. They were sad. The world had done its worst in crucifying the Son of the living God. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out He not only suffered, He bled, and He died, not only for my sins and your sin, but for the sins of the whole world. On the cross of Calvary, the Bible said that He bowed His head, gave up the ghost, and said, it's finished. And I want to tell you something, is that whenever they laid Him in the tomb, 3 days later, He resurrected from the tomb and got up gloriously and victoriously. Now, these women that came there that we just got through reading about, they were coming there with embalming things to embalm Him with spices and this and that and whatever they used to embalm. And they were waiting till after the Sabbath had gotten through, and it was before daylight. It was as it began to dawn. It was still dark. And if you read all the accounts that were there, they came there looking for a dead Jesus. Could I ask you this? What kind of Jesus are you looking for? And whenever they got there, there was an angel that had rolled the tomb back, the stone back, and the angel was sitting there on it. And when they came, they couldn't find the Lord. And He says, I know exactly who you're looking for. You're looking for Jesus. And I want to say the words of rejoicing that we've just got through reading in verse number 6. He is not here, for He is risen. Come and see the place. Miss Julie, I like this drawing she's made. I got here this morning, and of course Miss Monica was putting it up and all of that. Come see the place where He lay. He's not here. He's risen. And I want to thank God for the fact that He has risen. Listen, people like Jesus when He's in a cradle, but the cradle's empty this morning. People like Jesus when He's on the cross, but let me tell you, the cross is empty this morning. People like Jesus, whenever He died and was put in a coffin, but the coffin's empty this morning. Come see the place where they lay Him. And I want to tell you something. It's sad whenever you find out that he yielded up the ghost. The Bible said that the veil of the temple rent from top to bottom, from heaven down to this earth, to make way that you and I could come into the throne room of God and into the mercy seat and be atoned for our sin. Not only that, but I want to say to you that if you will, today is the day that it took place. And by that, I'm talking about the first day of the week. Somebody asked, you know, in the Old Testament, is that the Sabbath? Isn't that on a Saturday? And yes, it was. I said, well, why is it then the church is meeting on the first day of the week? Well, because it was changed. Well, who changed it? A Jew did. Well, you know what his name was? The Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. It was prophesied in days of old, back over in Leviticus in chapter number 23, all the way down through the Bible, and on the first day of the week. That's a resurrection day, friend. That's the reason why that I'm glad that, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. You can read about all this account in all the Gospels that were there. Matthew 16, verse 1 and 2. Luke chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. St. John chapter 20, verse number 1. You know, the Bible said over in St. John, whenever it talked about it, they were coming, and it was yet dark. It was very early in the morning. It began to dawn in the other places, but yet it was very early in that morning before that it got good sunlight or good daylight. Now, I want to say that as they walked along, no doubt it was sad. And let me tell you something, their sadness was turned into gladness. Now, you know, the Bible said that it's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. And the Bible says is that you'll find that Jesus is the only one that's ever won a victory over death, over hell, and over the grave. And the Bible said that when you look into it, that he can turn your sadness into gladness just like he did them. I know whom you're seeking, he said, but he's not here. You're seeking Jesus. He's not here. He's risen. And let me tell you something. We ought to be telling the story everywhere we go to everybody that we know. In this Bible lesson, you'll find is that the last enemy that'll be destroyed for you and I is death. I don't know about you, but death's a hurtful thing to me. I've got some people that I go by the cemetery and I look. And I had to look at them there, you know, look at their grave that's there. And let me tell you right now, I've been with many a person who's lost a loved one through the portal of death in days gone by. They didn't have any hope whatsoever. But the person who died, I knew had hope. And I seen them as they would weep with big tears. I've been and wept with them with big tears. I've said all that to be able to say this, is that you talk about a hurtful and sad occasion that it was for the Lord Jesus Christ having been slain, crucified, and laid in a tomb, a borrowed tomb. I want to say to you that, if you will, sadness was turned into gladness, and he's made that possible. I'm listening for the trumpet of God to come. I'm looking with great anticipation to that glad reunion day. And I want to tell you something, is that I hope and trust and pray that you know him in the free pardon of sin. When God came knocking on my heart's door, showed me myself like he saw me, gave me repentance to believe in God and faith to be able to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, make no mistake about it, I hadn't got over it till yet. And that's been a long, long time ago. Well over 50 years now. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, they said, he's not here. Come and see the place where he lay, where the Lord lay. He turned that remorse into rejoicing. Now, last but not least, certainly, I want to say to you, the reason why that this story is so great is because that Jesus has won the victory over death. I go out there to the graveside and see one of my loved ones. Jesus has won the victory over death, and one of these days he'll summons them to come forth. I want to say to you, he won the victory over hell. See, you're born without hope and without God. You're going to hell because of the fact you're born a sinner. The Bible said there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible said there's none that seeketh after him, no, not one. I want to tell you, he's seeking after you this morning in this lesson you're looking at. Over there in the book of John in chapter number 10 and verse number 18, the Bible says that concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. But in chapter number 10 and verse number 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, Jesus said. I have power to lay it down, talking about his life, and I have power to take it again. And this commandment have I received of my Father. And I want to say to you that, if you will, is that Jesus had already warned them back in John 2 to destroy this temple, talking about his body, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Now, I want to tell you something. He did exactly what he said that he would do. Now, look in the Bible over in the book of Acts and turn quickly there. In the book of Acts, chapter number 12, there's a passage over there. They had already taken a man by the name of James, and they killed him. He was the brother of John, and they had already slain James with the sword. And they were going to wait until, in verse number 4, they were going to wait until after Easter to be able to kill Simon Peter. Now, notice, if you will, they're not going to get to kill Simon Peter, but in the book of Acts in chapter number 12 and about verse number 4, now pay close attention. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and he delivered him to four quartanons of soldiers to keep him. That's 16 soldiers for the time. And intending after Easter. See the word Easter there? It's the only time that it appears in the Bible. Now, if you've got another version of the Bible besides the old King James, then the word Easter is not there. The word Passover has been replaced and put there in the text, which is wrong. Yes. If you've got up in the margin of your Bible, even if it's an old Schofield Bible, even old Schofield, he put there that it ought to be Passover. He's wrong. That's just wrong. It ought to be Easter. You know why? It's because, let me tell you, that Easter, they had an Idumean king. They had a pagan king. And this was a pagan festivity they were involved in. And it's the only place you'll find it in the Bible that's mentioned by name. Now look in verse number 3. And that because it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter, and then were the days of unleavened bread. Now, if you study it out in Numbers 28, if you study it out in these passages that we're looking at, by the time verse number 3 in this chapter is passed, the Passover is passed. That's how I know that. I didn't just make that up or come off the last turnip truck that fell through town. But I just realized that, no, is that that you'll find is that the word Easter there is not. So see there, it's all right. No, it's not. It's a pagan festivity of idolatry that was given during that time. Now, I'm not going to beat you up about what you're doing and all of that. I mean, if you want to run outside and try to hide all them eggs and this and that and so forth and don't knock yourself out, you just ought to know it's a pagan festivity and not a Christian doctrine. I had a church over in Louisiana, over in the edge of Louisiana. I don't even remember what the name of it was. But I had one over there. What was the name of it? You don't know?
Hell Baptist.
Hell Catholic. Hell Baptist. Yeah. Hell Baptist Church over in
Greenwood.
Greenwood Hills, that's it. Hell Baptist is good enough. I was new there, as you well could tell. And as a result of that, you know, I told them, they had met in the back, and I said, you know, preacher, we generally have us an Easter egg hunt for the kids. I said, well, I'm really not for that, but okay, that's fine. I'm new here, you're new here, and we'll get used to each other. I mean, you know, it was just shortly after we'd taken the church. And so anyhow, I'm getting up there. There's probably 150, maybe 175 people there that morning. I didn't realize that, no, there was going to be a person taller than I am, a woman dressed up in a bunny rabbit suit. And so anyhow, that's fine too. I'm going in trying to ignore that. But you can't ignore but so much. And finally, there was, as we got ready, and I was about getting ready to preach, somebody said, preacher, if I could say something, we normally have that egg hunt while the preaching's going on, while we're having church in here and we let them go outside. I said, well, we're not going to do things normally right now. I'm not going to stop the preaching of the word of the Lord for a pagan festivity. And besides, God doesn't care if your child ever hunts an egg or not, but it ought not to interfere with the preaching of the word of the Lord. And boy, let me tell you right now, is you talk about starting an uproar. They was not glad at all they had called me to be the pastor. And not only that, I was not glad at all. I was afraid any minute, you know, how'd you like to get the hell beat out of you by some woman in a bunny rabbit suit? I want to tell you something. What's sad is the average Baptist church in this country is full of that, and they do that trying to help pacify and build their congregation. I want to say in closing that, if you will, please, I just wanted you to know the truth about it. I'm not worried about you one way or the other, because my business is to tell what God said. Your business is either to reject it or receive it and act upon it. I want to say to you that here's the good news. While it was sad and they were weeping, their hearts were broken over the Savior that had been crucified and that was buried, thank God it turned from remorsing into rejoicing, because he is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where he lay. It's good to be saved and to know him in the free pardon of sin. Has he ever come knocking on your heart's door in conviction, showed you yourself in need of Christ? Then let me say to you, yesterday is gone forever and tomorrow may not ever come. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of eternal salvation. I wonder why we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, our musicians are coming. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. There may be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. Preacher, I want to get saved this morning. I hope and trust and pray that be the case. There may be somebody say, Preacher, I know I am saved. I've asked the Lord to save me, but I've never come forward, made it public. I've never trusted the Lord enough to be able to make it known outwardly and follow the Lord in baptism. I want to come for that this morning, whatever your need is. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon this message, and we pray you'd finish it in every heart. And we pray, Lord, that somehow or another, maybe there's a person without Christ, and they'll come to know you in the free pardon of sin. Maybe there's somebody, Lord, and say, Preacher, I just need to spend a little time at an old-fashioned altar. Whatever the need is, thou knowest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is that?